Ain't it good to...
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time to tee it up with On the Tee, talking the wide world of golf from the PGA to the Champions Tour, LPGA, college, high school, and the crazy world of the Hack Nation. And here's your head of the Hack Nation and your host, Mike Rickard.
Texas, we're going to talk to Michael about 11:15, 11:10. Gary Sermons, our resident executive producer and scratch golfer himself, picked him up in the... in the hunt for a foursome this morning. And he'll call in live from Mangrove Bay, where he's playing with three ladies that have carried him on a lot of tournaments. And then finally, the John Rieger Report, the PGA of America teaching professional from Crescent Beach, Florida. And we're here each and every Saturday talking the great world of golf. It, of course, is the FedEx Cup Series. We'll talk to John Rieger about that. And the second leg of it with the BMW, and then next week it's up to Atlanta for the finale of the 2022 PGA Tour. And what a year it was, with all kinds of interesting storylines and successes. And we'll talk about Tiger Woods being on the front cover of Golf World for the annual edition. Pretty impressive, the courage he displayed in 2022. We're at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, the 19th hole clubhouse studios, just a driver away from Tropicana Field, here on 13th and Central. And actually today at 4:10, we've got the Kansas City Royals in town with the Tampa Bay Rays. It'll be an active Saturday, and no better way than to tee it off with On the Tee Florida. Brought to you by Coors Light, our new partners, and I want to thank them and their contributions. We're going to have a lot of fun, do a lot of giveaways down the road. I know John Rieger's working on some things. I've got some things in my pocket. Just brought Shrimpies, Blues, and Bistro on board. We'll have some fun over there on Sunset Beach, Treasure Island. And, nothing but growth for Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and, of course, On the Tee Florida. We're at the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studio. Stop on by. If you stop on by, I'll get you a drink certificate, and I'll also throw you a On the Tee hat. So stop by and say hi. The first person that comes and says hi to me, we will give you the On the Tee hat. Nice brim. And I'll throw a hat in there as well, and a drink down here at Ferg's. We're going to cover the PGA and the Champions Leaderboards today, LPGA, And a couple of things I like to shout out, because we're going to be getting involved a lot in this, because you heard us last week with the Hero Tour, and that's for the first responders and, of course, the veterans out there. And we have done all the first tee in the area. We've helped them out with promotions. We did the Children's Miracle Fund with our good friend Gary Serma. We did the Perfect Stance Miracle by the Bay. So if you've got an event, get a hold of me. mrickardonthetee@gmail.com. mrickardonthetee@gmail.com. We'll send a big old Oscar Garner III out there. We're doing the NFL Alumni Super Bowl of Golf again this year. We're doing the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. You have an event, I don't care if it's covering from the peewees, the preps, the pros, as I like to say. We will certainly assist you, promote it, and come out. And then we're going to talk to Michael Furr about that as well, because he's committed to charitable causes, and his story is amazing. On the Tee Florida is archived, as I said, on Hoovy.tv channel, and our flagship is 106.1 FM, and that's in Tampa, Clearwater, St. Pete, 1340 AM, WZHR FM, 104.3 FM, WDCF AM, 1350, and Zephyr Hills, WZHR 102.3 FM and AM 1400, and of course streaming on RadioSt.Pete.com. Breaking news coming down the pike here in a couple of weeks. We're launching a sports channel, a streaming sports channel called The Stream, and it's going to have 13 different shows available for you all the time on The Stream. And the only locally owned sports streaming radio channel with podcasts as well as radio broadcasts. Very excited about that, a partnership with RadioSt.Pete.com and Joe Bedreau. And more to come on that in the next couple of weeks. Right now, let's go to the PGA leaderboard. And you've got on top of it the Aussie, Adam Scott, at 8 under. Cameron Young sitting at 7 under. Corey Connors, the Canadian, 7 under. Scotty Scheffler, the Texan, 7 under, along with another Texan, Jordan Spieth. Xander Schauffele, the gold medal winner. Cameron Davis, 6 under. Scott Stallings, Patrick Cantlay at 6 under. Rory McIlroy, man, he was on fire yesterday, and then he had a triple bogey. It was hard to watch. It just seems like Rory has done that of late. But I like that cat, and I like the position he's taken against the LIV Tour, I guess it is. I don't even like to dive too much into it. But we'll see how that evolves. And then let's go up to, I like the name of this golf club, the Enjoy Golf Club, and it is the Dick's Sporting Goods Open. And my man, Darren Clark, he never walked by a pint of beer. Darren Clark at 7 under, Jim Furyk sitting at 7 under, the Jacksonville resident. Vijay Singh, haven't seen Vij up there for quite some time. Padraig Harrington, he's been playing great on the Champions Tour. The bit Delphi Waldorf, there's another name I certainly haven't seen. I've been blessed to have him on my my show in the Midwest at the Principal Charity Classic. Ernie Els, the Big Easy, this is a star-studded leaderboard. And another Canadian, Mike Weir, and that is your PGA Champions Tour event, and that's the Dick's Championship. And news from Spain, this is pretty cool, actually very cool. On top of the leaderboard over there is Kelly and Jessica Norda. 1 and 2, 13 under Nelly. I'm sorry, what am I talking about? I can't read my own writing. Nelly and Jessica Korda. Jessica was on fire the first day. She shot an 11 under, 61, tied the European women's record. And right now, Nelly made a run. She was about 4 back of her sister. But those two are just superb stories, and I'd like to get them on the air someday. That will be a challenge, but we'll effort that. We'll put Gary Sermons on that. Hey, let's talk work ethic, honesty, and personal service in the wide world of real estate in Champa Bay. My friend, Barb with Champa Bay, Barb Grosseneiner, she's a first-class real estate, Gulf to Bay. She brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, and her commitment to every client. Combined with her knowledge of growing up in a family of home construction, her dad and her brothers, and they had success for decades in Northwest Iowa. Her energy, bubbly personality, it takes the stress out of things. And things are getting kooky again, the challenge of home buying. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends. You would recommend her. She gives pre- and post-sale support. I know for a fact she has painted people's, helped them paint inside before a sale. And she also has painted afterwards, after the close. She's that down to earth, and she just does a superb job. Barb with Champa Bay, give her a call today. That's barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or call her at 712-540-3704. That's barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, and give her a call at 712-540-3704. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today. Now we gave this gentleman a call. He reached out to us. I'm very, very blessed that he arrived, because, you know, this is the show where it's two pros and a hack. And I'm the hapless hack, have been since 2000 up in the Midwest. And I love unique skills and talents on the golf course. And this gentleman has them. He's Michael First. How are you, my man?
Good morning, Mike, and good morning, Florida.
How are things in Texas, brother?
Dang, man. Okay, so we just had a cold spell. It's about going to be about 97 today. We've had 55 straight days of 100-degree weather.
Damn.
I think it's the fourth or longest in history. So, yeah, thank God for some cloud cover and a little bit of cool air.
Did you have to crack out the Long Johns when it got down to 97?
We were kind of joking about that, you know, getting some frostbite, but we were delirious.
Yeah, you had to be. Oh my God. Well, let's do a little bio for the audience. Why don't you tell people your background, how you got into the game of golf, and how you've taken it to a very unique niche that's embraced worldwide. And I applaud you for your incredible success, but more than anything else, as I said in the intro of my show, I applaud you for your contributions to charitable organizations, and they always love having a guy like you that's entertaining, along with knowledgeable. I mean, you can tell somebody, you know, how to set up at the ball, but let's go back to the beginning and take us to where you are in 2022.
Right. Well, thanks. First off, for having me on. You know, I did make a recent trip to Coral Springs, Florida, to raise some money for the Traveling Vietnam Memorial Wall on behalf of the city of Jacksonville. So it was my first trip to Florida. Great experience. So this is truly my second trip to Florida today. So I am a retired tennis professional. I was a tennis professional when I was young, from about 18 till about 22. Blew out my knees, couldn't really play tennis anymore, so I started playing golf. I turned professional within about 7 or 8 years. Really didn't know what I was doing. I didn't like to practice, so I went back and became amateur again. Turned professional again the second time in 2002, and I've been doing what I've been doing pretty much since then. I'm a caddy, a master caddy, a caddy master. I have a group of caddies here. We have around 100 caddies where we do four caddy events, running four caddies, bag caddies. But predominantly, I'm a golf and teaching professional. I am the golf professional for a celebrity golf team here in Dallas. And to entertain these guys all the time, you got to be doing something extraordinary. So I'm doing trick shots within my group at the moment, whatever I can come up with right then to be the most entertaining. And that's just having fun with my friends and whoever else is watching. And that's kind of how it got started.
Well, it got started, but it's kind of exploded. Talk about some of the Guinness Book of World Records you have, some of your interactions. Of course, I keep a close eye on JD, John Daly. He lives up here in Clearwater. You're aware of that. Talk about some of the unique things you've done and where you've been profiled from a national and an international perspective.
You know, golf is a game that you can play from the, you know, from the time that I work with the first tee. There's roughly 1,200 programs around the country. I work with First Tee Fort Worth, one of the top programs in the country. And we have 50,000 kids that we mentor there. And we utilize golf as a platform to help teach these young kids people skills. So that is a really cool and unique honor in itself. But I've been doing the long drivers. I swing 8-foot drivers for charity. And that eventually grew into how long can you go. And it still continues to grow to this day. Currently, the current Guinness World Record that I hold is a 51-foot, 1-inch driver that we hit a little over 50 yards. Now, if you think about that, that's the length of a 4-story building. You can't swing the golf club, so we have taken general physics and regular components of a golf club and created this monster club. It takes two people to swing it. You have one guy, which is the anchor man, the other guy, which is the runner. He is right in the middle. You got to run like Forrest Gump to get it moving, and that's how we make contact with the ball.
Go, Forrest, go.
Yeah, so Guinness told us that they didn't care how we did it. You just, the object is to meet clubhead with the ball and did a measurable distance. So we use those minimal words and come up with this new, what I call the evolution of the world record. The world records, all as they continue to grow longer and longer, evolve into something abnormal, and that's where we're at now. So it's really unique. It's a great honor to be able to swing these 8-foot drivers for charity, but to break a world record when we have to. This year we've done 31 events, raised a little over $100,000 for our charities. We still have a half a season to go. I would anticipate raising $180,000 for our charities, all swinging our 8-foot drivers. And I don't do it all myself. I allow the golfers to swing my 8-foot drivers, giving great value to their donations. So it's a unique experience, one of a kind. I have 23 world records, including 5 Guinness World Records. We started out with a 8-foot driver. Then my first world record attempt was with a 14-foot driver. Then they pitted me, America, against Europe, because that's who had the world record. The media has twisted my rivalry around to four different groups or people to create a competition within the media, which also stirs interest with the public. First was America versus Europe. And then I used the Lee Greenwood song, Proud to be an American, because I was wearing stars and stripes like John Daly's loudmouth, and challenged the top five people around the world to come to Texas and see who leaves and goes home number one. I used Lee Greenwood's song, but I didn't pay the $5,000 licensing rights and almost got in trouble. But he said, it was awesome. We support your product and we support your message. So really unique. You just never know where these world records are going to take you, how far it's going to reach. I was on a TV show in Japan called Number One in the World. It's a very unique honor. Number one on YouTube Japan. I beat Kobe, Kyrie, the Duel in Cleveland, been in Playboy, Sports Illustrated. They all want to talk about it, which is keeping the conversation fresh. And that's what I like.
Well, it's, today's world, it's all about content on any platform. But you're kind of a pioneer, and here they are reaching out to you. So you just create the content. They fly with it, and it benefits everybody in the long run, right?
Absolutely. We've done these 8-foot driver commercials. I've done TV commercials as well, because every business, their main goal is to go to great lengths to take care of their customers. It's a great punchline, and they go to great lengths, just like the length of the golf club, to be successful and to help you. So people have used those punchlines, and I was in Playboy in 2015. They said I stated I regained my status as having the world's longest shaft. It's a great punchline, and it's funny, and it's long and it's meaningful and long lasting. You know, one of these guys said it's not about how long the club is, but it's the circumference of his Jumbo Max grip. I'm sponsored by Jumbo Max with the Bryson DeChambeau, and so our grips are truly gigantic. They're about the size of the circumference of a golf ball, our extra large grips. But if you're swinging big golf clubs, you might want to be able to hold on to it.
Okay, so do you manufacture this yourself, or do you have somebody that you outsource to? Because obviously you approach a major manufacturer, it's kind of an unusual request for length.
It is. I have, I've grown and learned throughout the years of the process and the capabilities. I actually describe the world record on the news as putting one straw inside of another straw inside of another straw. So we're using basically the last 18 inches of an iron shaft or graphite shaft, and we were basically tipping it out and then epoxying it to the next piece. So you're getting roughly 4 inches to 14 inches in extra length every time you add a new one. So that's how I describe it to the news, so that people can understand, because we've all done that as kids, putting one straw inside the other inside the other. And so the 51-foot driver is composed of 61 pieces of steel. They're basically 8 segments that are roughly 6 to 7 feet long, and then we attach them individually. If you was to glue that whole thing together, it compromises it every time you heat it up and take it back apart. So it's the same golf club that's been stretched out since 2012, when it was 14 feet long. It just continues to grow. We use the same components. The only sponsor I don't have is a shaft sponsor, and we're currently working out a deal with True Temper.
You're listening on the Tee Florida here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We are live from our Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Club Studios, brought to you by Coors Lights, and got a new little clubhouse studio down on the beach. And friends of Ferg's and mine, and the beauty of it, folks, it's about three blocks, not quite 3 blocks from my pad, so it'll be easy to go to. We'll talk more about that, too. And we're talking to Michael Furry. He's a trick shot artist, former tennis player. My buddy Billy McGee would love that. And, of course, PGA teaching professional. And you've had some interesting interaction with some of the greats in the game, Hall of Famers. Talk about, I'm looking at a couple pictures. You and Lefty, and that was, is that part of an HBO show? Tell the audience a little bit about that, where they can see that on YouTube, because that looked that kind of interesting as well.
Similar to the Lee Greenwood story, you just never know who's calling you. So one of the producers for HBO and the Bleacher Report asked what it would take to get my 30-foot Guinness World Record driver to Vegas and let Phil Mickelson swing it for some post-production shoot for the match, $9 million match in 2018. I'm like, well, first off...
Who did he play with in 2018? I can't remember.
Tiger Woods. Oh, poor Tiger only won $500,000 in that match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There wasn't any celebrities. It was just those two one-on-one. I forgot.
No, it was the first one. They had originally signed for three deals. And so that was the first one, and they were still trying to make it work.
Got it.
Honestly, to make that thing work, each team needs its own organized heckler. They need more games or more structured, organized games and contests throughout the match just to keep it a little more interesting. The heckling part is the one part that they're missing, because that's the entertainment part, which is we don't normally allow that in golf, but for the match, it is could be truly entertaining.
So what was your role then at the match? What did Lefty think of your club?
Oh, well, he thought he could do it. Of course, he thinks he can do anything because he's very confident. And he's very, you know, and cockiness and confidence are sometimes misunderstood. Sometimes people are taking cockiness, but really it's the overconfidence, you know, that they're exuding. So, you know, my role was to take the Guinness World Record 30-foot driver and let Phil swing it on the range at Shadow Creek to do some intimidating video and footage just to intimidate Tiger. So they were using this footage and doing this preliminary shoot to kind of build up the hype for the match. A lot of banter, back and forth talk, you know, from Tiger to Phil and Phil to Tiger. And so, I mean, if Phil Mickelson goes out there and swings a 30-foot Guinness World Record driver, you know, it looks kind of intimidating. But I was on Tiger Woods EA Sports back in 2013 when my golf club was 14 feet. So Tiger didn't want no part of that back then. And he was smart enough at Shadow Creek to not even come out of the clubhouse and come look at my golf club. So Phil was the only guy. Phil was the only guy that really tried to do it. He tried to swing it about four times. And I told him, look, man, gravity's your worst enemy. Don't get this thing any higher than 2 or 3 feet up off the ground. If it's a 30-foot driver, you pick the thing up off the ground, you can lift it like a arching rainbow, but the club head's still on the ground. So it doesn't benefit you. Get the thing moving, drag it. Get it going. And so, you know, old Lefty, I'm telling him, coaching him, because that's my role. And lo and behold, guy's got $80 million and three green jackets, and he's got this golf club 15 feet up off the ground like a rainbow. And he bullwhips it, snaps it into four pieces, walks right up to the camera and says, Tiger, I'm going to do to you what I did to this golf club, and I'm going to break you into pieces. And I was like, oh.
You're like, dude, you just broke my friggin' club.
I was sitting there thinking that was staged and planned out. He had no intentions of being successful at this driver. They just wanted to snap it. But realistically, the HBO, the Bleacher Report, MGM Grand, Top Golf, and Callaway, they paid for my golf club to come there so they could look at it, see how it was built.
And break it.
Well, they had Fujikawa build a 37-foot driver, 7 foot longer, and let Anthony Anderson from Law & Order swing it the following month for a publicity stunt. He broke my world record on a special pilot episode of Guinness World Record Breakers. There's a video on YouTube called The New Challenger.
He loves golf.
He loves golf. He is about the second crappiest celebrity golfer. He always finishes at the bottom of the list, but boy, he is entertaining. I didn't think he was very funny when he broke my world record, but he's a lot more funny now. So now the Discovery Channel has contacted me, because I talk a lot of smack to Anthony Anderson until I got my record back. They would like to film and document me and Anthony Anderson going head-to-head for the new record. I told them that, you know, this is a two-man rodeo now. He's going to have to bring his cast. He's going to have to bring his cast from Hollywood. He needs some help. I said, look, I will give him my Guinness World Record partner, and he will have someone that will be successful for him. I'm going to take Alfonso Ribeiro from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and we're going to dance and do the Carlton together. But we are going to kick Anthony Anderson's butt live on the Discovery Channel.
Hey, so that is the next that's going to be freaking cool, my friend.
It would be very cool. So I would like to do it here in Texas. We are the current world record holders, so we should maintain home field advantage. We're all going to be on the same team.
Why don't you come to the Sunshine State, a neutral field, so there's none of that back and forth. Come here. I'll make sure we give you some home cooking to take him on. And I'll get my buddy John Rieger. We'll get everybody together and come to the Sunshine State. We're known for Florida. You guys are number two, brother, in California.
I will throw that in the mix. I will throw that in the mix as a possible location.
we'll treat you like royalty.
That's awesome. So our goal is to, you know, we're all famous in our own little ways, so we want to do it for something more than the record. All of my world records, except for the first one, has had a message attached to it, because that message will last longer than the world record. Proud to be an American? Yes, I was proud to be an American. I challenged the top people around the world to compete, and, you know, that was the concept there. I was wearing stars and stripes. Golf clubs, red, white, and blue. The next one, I partner with a cancer institute here in Fort Worth to talk about programs they offer men and women that don't have money, health, insurance, anything. But you have them. They can help you if you have cancer and you have needs. So that message with the pink golf club and pink balls and pink clothes for breast cancer awareness for women around the world was broadcast. And we asked people, look, ask 10 ladies in your life, have you had your mammogram? They might think it, say no, or they might think about it. They might schedule it and catch something early, and you can be a little bit of the positive factor of helping them catch that early because you asked them and was involved. Then I did prostate cancer awareness for men with blue balls. So I had blue balls for that one.
Yeah. I'm not real fond of the blue balls, but anyway. You know, and I applaud you for that, and that's one of the things you and I discussed on during our first conversation, our involvement here in the Tampa St. Pete area with the First Tee program, your involvement over there. I think we should be able to collaborate. We've got some great relationships, like I said, with the NFL alumni and the Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and we should create an On the Tee Florida charitable strategy to get you here. You and I talked about that. I'll get John Rieger, my radio partner, involved in this. And that'd be very cool to have you at an event and generate funds for a charitable organization that we all agree upon is worthy. And I look forward to that, man.
Well, you know, the really cool part about that 51-foot driver and the message for that driver, the 51-foot driver, is First Tee. We have the branding of the First Tee. That golf club is lime green and white because that is the new branding for First Tee.
I saw that. I thought it was the University of South Florida home. No, that's their colors.
It is a little bit, and it is the rest of it is white. There's a 30-foot, 6-inch section in the middle of the golf club that is white, and the rest of it is lime green. And those in that 30-foot, 6-inch section, that is the length of my last world record. The one that Anthony Anderson broke. I put the 9 core values that we teach the kids with First Tee every 41 inches during that 30-foot span. We put the 9 core values on there. We let the kids of the program sign the golf club and sign their favorite core values so that they could become part of that record as well. Because if I was going to break that record, I also had to do just what I asked those kids, to follow those 9 core values to be successful at it. And the one value that stands out most to me, because I was disqualified twice by Guinness World Records, which means don't ever give up. So perseverance was my core value that got me to the finish line.
Well, I'll tell you what, Michael, for things happen for a reason, And I appreciate you reaching out to me on our social media. I want to collaborate with a lot of interactive social media. I'm gonna connect you with John Rieger, PGA Teaching Professional of America. You name it, he's done in the game of golf, world of golf. He'll be on immediately after you. And he's got incredible ideas, and I think we can collaborate and bring Texas and Florida together in something would be monumental. Bring the two states together.
We both have a panhandle, so that's the other thing we got in common. We both have a panhandle.
Well, no offense. I've been in the panhandle of Texas. I'll take the Redneck Riviera any day of the week, brother, over the panhandle of Texas. Well, I'm gonna make you a frequent guest. I'll talk to you this week. I'll get you hooked up with John Rieger, and between the three of us, we'll come up with some fun, creative stuff. Besides your Discovery Channel plans, what's the next record that you're eyeballing?
We currently have the challenge out to Anthony Anderson and Alfonso Ribeiro to do this team collaboration. The new golf club is 61 feet 1 inch, so it's actually 10 feet longer than the current world record. We have
just keep Lefty away from it. Just keep Lefty the hell away from it first.
He don't want no part of it. You know, every time he'd knock the ball off the tee, and you know, with the 30-foot driver, he never hit it once. Like when he would move the club, it would cause a little shock wiggle wave in the club, and he would pull it back, but the club head would bounce forward and knock the ball off the tee. And he's like, "See, I told you it was easy."
You know.
But I did have an 8-foot driver challenge with him. I did bring him a left-handed Callaway Rogue green master shafted 8-foot driver because you want to bring something they could put on film and something he could hit, right? So I brought him, and I had a long drive contest with him. He whiffed it the first four times. He topped it about 20 feet on the fifth try, and he said, "Okay, let's see how the real pro does it." I said, "Okay, well, don't feel bad." So I whacked it all the way to the back of the driving range at Shadow Creek. They said it flew 267 with an 8-foot driver.
Well, my friend.
Okay. Thanks for your time. Thanks for coming out.
That's a great story. And you've got plenty of them. And we're going to have you on often to share your stories. I'll talk to you this week. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, keep on keeping on. Thank you, Big Mike. Have a great show. And thanks for exposing.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
Michael Furr. Oh, my gosh. That's very intriguing, I'll tell you right now. And I know John Rieger, the marketing man that he is. I'll talk to him right now. He's probably chomping at the bit down options for us down here. Yeah, bringing Texas and Florida together will be a challenge in itself. They've got some superb golfers, by the way, right now on the PGA Tour. Will Zalatoris, Scotty Scheffler, just to name a couple. And he's the great John Rieger. He's brought to you by Coors Light. And, of course, each and every week he brings his wisdom, expertise, humor and creativity to On the Tee Florida. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what a great interview that was. Having a 5-time Guinness World Record holder on your show, Michael Firth. What a joy to listen to him with his Texas accent and some of the encounters he's had. In fact, I thought that was very interesting, his deal with cable TV and Anthony Anderson and them setting him up to break his world record. And now he came back with a 20-foot club longer than the one he broke the world record with. So it's like an arms race out there. But I can tell you that what a great cause that he raises money for. And very, very interesting. I've never seen anything like it before. And wish him the best of luck. And hopefully down the road, we can get it to Florida. I'm not sure how you get a 61-foot golf club to Florida. You might have to put it on a semi or something like that, or put it on a boat and ship it over.
Well, you know, when they transfer in those, what are those wind turbines for the turbine fields for energy?
They just strap the driver on the back of one of those. They're good to
exactly,
go.
Exactly. But
so Michael, here's what I thought I'd come up with today for the John Rieger Golf Report. And obviously, when you look at local golf history, and since our syndicated show is based out of St. Petersburg, I thought I'd talk about somebody from St. Petersburg that the older golfers in town, they'll know exactly who this is and who I'm talking about. But this might be a treat for some of the younger golfers. What I want to talk about is a gentleman that played on the PGA Tour in the late 40s. And in a couple of years span, before 1950, he had won like five tournaments. And he ended up in a plane crash. He was the only survivor of a plane crash in 1950 in Evansville, Indiana. And he was burned over 70% of his body. And one of the issues he had was with his hands. He was not going to be able to use his hands very well the rest of his life, and they had to be frozen in position. So he had them frozen where he could hold on to a golf grip, you know, being a PGA Tour player. And that he no one ever thought he would even keep his hands, much less even play the game of golf again. Well, he did. He recovered. And he ended up being on the 1951 Ryder Cup team. Sammy Snead, Slammin' Sammy, one of the all-time leaders of golf and winner of over 80 PGA Tour events, was the captain. And so the gentleman that I'm getting ready to mention, his name's Skip. I won't mention his last name just yet. The old timers will know who he is. But in 1951, the Ryder Cup, you know, Skip was on the team. You know, he earned his way on the team, but they didn't think there's any way that he could possibly contribute at all. And the best golfer in England at that time, and keep in mind, it wasn't United States versus Europe. It was United States versus Great Britain and Ireland. Okay, so that was the team. You know, they changed it back in the 80s to including all of Europe and getting the Spaniards involved and the Germans involved and that kind of thing. But in those days, that's what the Ryder Cup was for. And they put him against the best player on the British team. Guy was the Open champion. His name was John Patton. And they thought it was just going to be a token match. They figured that John Patton would beat this guy, but since this guy was beating everybody, they figured that, okay, they'll go out and it won't be a big deal. Well, Skip went out there and he had won. His hands were bleeding by the end of the round. He won 8-7. That was the largest margin of a singles match in the Ryder Cup up to that point. Well, his last name is Alexander, Skip Alexander. And for everybody, our listeners, especially in the St. Petersburg area, they'll know that it used to be called Lakewood Country Club. Now it's called St. Petersburg Country Club. And Skip, right after the Ryder Cup, he became their club pro. And that's what he retired to because he knew he couldn't play competitive golf anymore. And he served for 34 years as the golf professional at St. Petersburg Country Club. And, you know, he was very well respected. I think there was a movie made about his endeavor out there with, recovering from the burns and things like that. So anyway, I wanted to provide that in the John Rager Report because it led to then his son, Buddy Alexander, who's now retired. But Buddy was one of the best college golf coaches of all time. But Buddy won the U.S. Amateur in 1986. And so he never turned pro. Buddy decided not to turn pro. He decided to go ahead and remain an amateur, which one of the things you get to do, if you win the U.S. Amateur, you get to go back to Masters every year. Now, you don't get to play every year. You only get to play the following year that you won the U.S. Amateur, but he gets to play in the par three tournament every year, even to this date. So Buddy actually won two national championships with the Gators, and he's a college golf coach, Hall of Famer, and he's maybe most famous for his match with Tiger Woods in the 1994 U.S. Amateur. You know, Tiger Woods went on to win three U.S. Junior Amateurs in a row and three U.S. Amateurs in a row. But history could have been changed just slightly. I'm sure Tiger, if he had lost to Buddy in that match, would have gone on to be the golfer that he is. But, Buddy had him down bad going into the last five holes, and Tiger came back to beat him. So that was in 1994, what he's most famous for. Is almost taking Tiger down. Well, the reason I bring that up, because there's the next generation of an Alexander, and his name's Tyson Alexander. Tyson's 34 years old. He's been on the Corn Ferry Tour. He's been on the Latin American Tour. And Tyson this year has earned his PGA Tour card through the Corn Ferry Tour. Tiger, not Tyson, but Tyson. Not Tiger, obviously. I got Tiger on my mind. But Tyson finished 18th on the Corn Ferry Tour. They take the top 25 players. And at age 34, Tyson Alexander is now on the PGA Tour for next year, and congratulations to him.
I got to get him on the show. And I don't know if I ever shared this with you. That is superb history, and I found out about it a couple of years ago before I decided to come back to the airwaves, much to most people's chagrin, and partner with Mark Ferguson. I was I always looked for part-time jobs that kept me active, and I was a kart jockey at St. Pete Country Club for almost 9 months. Had a blast. I was, you know, me and another guy were the two oldest out there, but everybody loved us. And if you walk in the hallways, in fact, we just did an event out there with the first tee of St. Pete. Oh, about a couple months ago, I sent the big O out there. Anyway, you walk through the hallways of St. Pete Country Club, you know, like you said, old Lakewood, and so much history. I mean, Babe Ruth, Sam Snead, and then they have a deal on the gentleman, both these guys that you're talking about, and it's a historic, cool track. And they're in the process, John, of doing a clubhouse remodel, investing money into it. I love that course, and I've been on every inch of it, to be quite candid with you.
Yeah, I think somebody was talking to you the other day. They were walking down the hallway, and they saw this special plaque, Worst Employee of the Month. So I don't know if your picture is on it or not.
But, well, yeah. It might have been, buddy, because I tell you what, that was when COVID hit, and you have one person on a cart. You had to sanitize the cart before anybody could get on it, every one of the carts. And then they made it. I only did it for cash. I wanted the cash tips, and conversational and could work my way around the course with all these people. However, they made the decision to allow these people to tip on their account. Well, there's a lot of cheapskates in the country club world, and I was very vocal about it. So there might have been a picture of me, John.
You know, here's a story about Sam Snead. You know, since we talked about Sam earlier in the segment here, about he was the golf pro emeritus at the Greenbrier. Now, you know, back in the 50s, you would have PGA Tour players that actually had home golf courses that, yeah, they didn't work too hard at their home course, but it was their home course. They were actually club pros that played on the tour. And so back in the 50s, you know, Sam Snead made the Greenbrier in West Virginia a famous place. Not only is it a famous place because that's the bunker where all the senators and Congress hang out in the nuclear war, but Greenbrier is a wonderful golf facility and, you know, hosted PGA Tour events. And, you know, it's an expansive,
gorgeous
five-star resort. It's gorgeous, right? Well, Sam, what he would do in the morning, he'd walk down to the driving range. To give out tips to golfers, you know, and there comes Sammy Snead. He's going to look at my backswing. And Sammy would say, yeah, I'll just slow it down a little bit, or you're standing too far away from it. And he'd just walk on up and down. And then these guests would get back to the room late in the day, and they'd see a bill from Sam Snead for $100 for a golf lesson back in the 50s.
Seriously?
Yeah. So that's that's how you make money back then. But anyway, I want to give a shout out to one of our new sponsors, Shrimpy's Blues Bistro, down on Blind Pass St. Pete Beach. You know, it's always good to have folks that want to support our golf show, and this is a really unique place. You know, it's got unbelievable seafood. It's fresh. You know, most of their stuff is caught right out of the Gulf of Mexico. They got not one bar, but they get two bars. They got, you know, a couple dozen craft beers, and then you can watch the NFL there during the fall. So you could come down there and, you know, get some sand between your toes and get a craft beer and watch your favorite NFL team. So I just want to give a shout out to Shrimpy's Blues Bistro down on Blind Pass Road on St. Pete Beach. So thank you for joining us.
Well, great plug there, John, and I appreciate it. And I'll tell you one thing, the new ownership, Latin Energy, my buddy Mark Ferguson from Fergs obviously knows what he's doing, going on 30 years. He's part of the ownership group, and we're going to have an absolute blast. And as you said, we're right on the Gulf, and they're going to put a lot of emphasis in the college football, and they're going to be the beach home. I'm at the home of watch parties for Florida State, but they're going to be the beach home for the Florida Gators, realizing there aren't a whole lot of watch parties in this area. It's a lot of Florida State, so that's a good news. And in Michigan, watch parties for the Wolverine fans.
Well, you got to take care of the Snowbirds. They're down here half the time anyways. They've invaded, so you better put a Big Ten team up there. And, hey, let's just shift gears and go to the PGA Tour.
I was just going to suggest that.
Yeah, BMW Championship. Now, it's interesting. You know how the PGA Tour events, they rename their events. For example, this event used to be called the Western Open. And it was a major golf championship up to a certain point, probably, you know, when you got into the 1950s after World War II, you know, no longer was a major championship for whatever reason. But that was one of the big time tournaments to win and go down in history as a major championship winner. Well, it's the Western Golf Association, which is a wonderful golf association. They have a huge caddy sponsor program. You know, all these clubs in the summer have caddies. They do caddy scholarships. It's kind of a lost art out there. And the Western Golf Association has always had the Western Open. Well, it's kind of morphed into different things. And so now it's the BMW Championship. It's part of the FedEx Cup playoffs. It's the second of the third tournament for the FedEx Cup playoffs. And I saw a picture this morning from 1941, right before all the PGA Tour players had to go off onto World War II. And it's Porky Oliver. And Porky Oliver was quite a... quite a character out there. And it has his title. Instead of winning the 1941 Western Open, he won the 1941 BMW Championship. You know, 1941, I don't think we were buying a whole lot of BMWs from Germany.
No kidding.
You know, but they do that all the time. I saw it all the time. You know, Arnold Palmer would be the Monsanto Open, you know, and it wasn't the Monsanto Open. But so anyway, hey, you know, Arnold Palmer's first victory was actually in St. Petersburg, the St. Pete Open. So I think it's 1955, somewhere around there. So we got a lot of history tidbits, but let's go to the FedEx Cup Championship right here. So top 30 make it to the Tour Championship. And as promised, you've got a star-studded leaderboard right now. You got Adam Scott from Australia. He's leading the pack at -8, and he's playing very, very well. And then you got Scottie Scheffler wanting to, go ahead and try to become the number one golfer in the world, win the FedEx Cup. Cameron Young, the young rookie that's out there, and his dad's the club pro up in upstate New York. Corey Connors, the Canadian. Jordan Spieth, one behind. So it's in fact, in the top 10, you have Rory McIlroy, you know, and you have Patrick Cantlay. So it's a, you know, and just right behind him, you got Matsuyama, you got Varner, you got John Rahm. So you know what? This is going to be a great weekend for the FedEx Cup. And keep in mind, top 30 go to the Tour Championship. But it's interesting because the FedEx Cup points are quadrupled at this particular point. So not only do you win, you get four times the point. You can really move up that leaderboard really quick and become number one in the world right away. So that's the way the FedEx Cup works. And then they do something at the end next week with the Tour Championship. And they start you out at certain under par. So I think whoever's leading the FedEx Cup gets started out at 10 under par automatically, which is an interesting thing to do. You know, and I think if you're the 30th place, you get started out like one under par. So I'm not sure how that works, but they've done that every year. Seems like at the end, the best golfer still seems to win, but that's unusual. It's like having a horse race, but having 16 different starting gates.
Hey, let me ask you this, John. There's several players that have voiced their distaste for the way that this, you know, you're successful all season long, and or you're not that successful, but you get in the FedEx, and I think Sepp is who they're alluding to last week, and all of a sudden he's vaulted into this opportunity to blow by guys that were ranked higher all year long in the world rankings in the FedEx Cup. What do you think of that that process?
Oh, I don't feel sorry for him. It's the same rules for everybody. You know, you got to let your clubs do the talking. So, yeah, so guess what? Everybody has the same opportunity to move right on up. And just because you've been playing good all year doesn't mean that you're entitled to win everything. You've got to. That's what makes it exciting about the FedEx Club playoffs is that you have the ability coming down the stretch to make a big comeback and win it all. And why not? So, so different than NASCAR, or they have their playoffs at the end. At first, you know, when I heard the PGA Tour doing playoffs and the FedEx Cup, it's kind of funky because that's a football thing or a baseball thing. You know, you're in the playoffs. But it seems to work. It fans are very interested in it. You can get a player that has been in the doldrums all year that just kind of crept along and kept their ability to stay in the game, and boom, at the end of the year. And it's all about who's playing good at the certain times. Momentum. This is a momentum game. So why not the best player who's playing the best at the end gets all the spoils?
All right. So we've got the President's Cup coming up. And, of course, we know that includes Australians, and we know the historic role of Greg Norman on the president as the captain of the president's team. There might be some awkward moments between the two because of the LIV and the PGA controversy right now.
Yeah, that's something that's going to be a whole topic of or maybe our next John Rager Golf Report, not next one, maybe a couple of weeks down the road when we get closer to the President's Cup, because there's some things that are going to be shaken out. And one of it is that, rumor is that you're going to have five or six big names go to the LIV Golf Tour right after the FedEx Cup playoffs are over. And that's only a couple of weeks from now. And the President's Cup, I believe, is the end of September. So, yeah, a lot of awkwardness, and half the President's Cup team is on the LIV Golf Tour right now, so I'm not sure how they're going to handle all that, and if that President's Cup becomes a marquee event or just becomes a yawner, because the other side doesn't have the best players in the world on their team. Very similar to what the Ryder Cup had to do years ago, not in the contract. Ryder Cup had to expand to Europe because the matches became a yawner. England and Great Britain and Ireland had only so many golf professionals that could play until they expanded it out to Europe, and you had Bernhard Langer from Germany, and then you had Seve Ballesteros and Jose Olafable from Spain. You started getting these great players from all these different countries. It made the Ryder Cup very competitive again, and probably the most exciting competition in the world of golf, and maybe one of the top in the world of sports. But the President's Cup seems to be a yawner if you have half the team on the international side that's not even eligible to play in it.
Well, we only got a couple minutes, but I'd like to take a look at that Dick's Sporting Goods leaderboard, because that's a who's who, and I love the majority of these players on that leaderboard. You got Darren Clark on top, fresh off winning another senior major. And then Jim Furyk, Vijay Singh, you don't see him on top very often. And Padraig Harrington, Ernie Els, Mike Weir. That's a nice leaderboard for us to spend the afternoon watching later on.
Well, the Champions Tour, they finish up a little bit later than the PGA Tour. They're going to have their Charles Cup Swab Cup later on in the fall here. But, Darren Clark, he's a fan favorite, obviously, winning the Senior Open Championship. When I say Senior Open, not U.S. Open, British Open. He won that. He won the Open Championship about 10 years earlier. So he is he's a fan favorite. He's the guy that you want to go have a pint with.
Exactly. And, he needs to come to Crescent Beach with John Rieger and Wild Bill.
Well, absolutely. I shout out to Wild Bill. He's not here at Crescent Beach this week. He's in Gainesville, Florida, which is one of the top 10 most humid places in North America. So if he's listening there, just go ahead and hop in the pool when you get done with your round of golf this morning.
Well, and Jimmy Furyk lives there, too. All right, my friend. Well, always a great segment each and every week. I appreciate your contributions, your support as we expand and grow. And that was a cool conversation with Mike Furyk, that's for sure.
Well, shout out to Coors Light, shout out to Shrimpies, and shout out to Ferg Sports Bar for being sponsors of our show and very supportive. And I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, my man. Have a great weekend. That's John Rieger. And we're from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, the 19th Hole Club Studios, each and every week. For Gary Sermons out there, I was trying to call in, Mike Ferg, John Rieger, Joe Berdreau, Big Ed on the controls. Thanks for listening on the T Florida. Stay tuned for Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. Remember to keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.